All right. It is Friday morning. The weekend is here. And finally, if you've been waiting for this, if you've had a rough week, then this is your salvation this Friday morning. We've got Ben and Simpiwe here. Going to be joined by a special guest in a short while. And lots of other exciting stuff happening this Friday. I just asked Ben if he's going to do anything this weekend. He said probably just stay inside.
Well, so, I'll venture out because, you know, vitamin D is good and all that kind of stuff. But no, I have no real...
You imagine him like a vampire, just like going into the sun for 5 seconds.
I do the sun every morning. I don't have any really big plans. There's obviously sport to watch. I physically want to watch that SA Island game. I want to watch every single second of it. I'm so intrigued by everything. But otherwise, no, I've started a new Wilbur Smith book, which I'm excited about.
Very nice.
I've still got my Smuts book to finish. I need to get through these.
Okay, reading up a storm. Okay, so there is something that we kind of had on the agenda this morning too. There was apparently this woman who went on TV and she said that her dog, because she's a vegan, and she said her dog is a vegetarian as well. Yeah, well, she's saying this because she thinks it makes her cool with other vegetarians, obviously. That's always what they do. Really not about... I mean, probably for all we know, she's like those other vegetarians who pretend to be vegetarian. Meanwhile, when no one's looking, they nosh down on the meat. It's all just mince and sausages and pies and, you know. But when everyone's watching, they're like, I'm a vegetarian. I don't know why. I don't know why it's like a virtue signaling thing. I don't think vegetarians or vegans are better people in any way, but they do.
Well, they obviously pitch a few things like there's no slaughter of animals to create nourishment for them.
But those animals that they're refusing to eat are already dead.
Yeah.
They're already in the packet in the shop. So when you walk past and you say, oh, not for me, I'm above that, it's already dead animal. It was going to be dead with or without your saying so. So you're not helping.
Yeah. But their whole thing is that then they don't create any more demand to kill any more animals. They're not great arguments.
No.
I feel like when people start to project their stuff onto their animals, it's a slippery slope because animals, they need to survive, right?
Yeah.
Broccoli ain't making a cat live longer. Cats, they need to eat meat.
So this woman goes on TV and she boasts about her dog being a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And then they test it and guess what happens?
It's not. Oh. No.
The dog goes straight for the meat, right, Ben?
Straight away.
Yeah.
The dog is given 5 seconds of freedom away from this woman. And the dog just goes, oh, thank fuck, there's some real food in this plate there. And imagine gets stuck into it.
Imagine the suffering that poor animal has to go through while she's torturing herself about, am I going to seem like a better person if I don't eat meat? And the poor dog's like, just please feed me. And then she puts down a plate of broccoli and the dog's like,
yeah, we've got some quinoa to go with the broccoli. Like, I always think, what's the next step? Do you then say, oh, my dog's non-binary, so therefore it's not going to wear these clothes? And
it's going to happen.
It barks fun. Like, let a dog be a dog. Let a cat be a cat.
Mm-mm. Some people can't let their kids be kids.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's going to happen. You see, seriously mentally ill people and people who are tremendously insecure and unhappy, project that on everything around them. They say, oh, my car has bad luck. They say, oh, the government hates me. They say, oh, you know, every time I order this, it's always not what I ordered. Everything in their life is just, it's moaning and whining and wailing. And I just think you could do very well to stay away from those people. I do feel sorry for the pets because a pet can't get away.
They can't. Well, a cat will find a way.
Imagine you're a pet with a depressed person. Now, I hate to make the depressed people... Actually, I don't care. Imagine you're a pet and you're like a happy little dog and you live with Susie, who's the most miserable bitch on earth. And Susie's like always sad. And Susie's miserable and she's grief-stricken and she's depressed and she's always popping pills for her depression. And the poor dog follows her through the house as she drags her feet, complaining about everything. Oh, the government. Oh, the weather. Oh, the sports teams. And this poor dog is like, just let's go outside and play.
Yeah. It's going to meet some people at the park.
And you know what eventually happens? The dog gets depressed too.
Yeah. Well, it'd have to. That's why I think it's just better to be around cats because cats do their own thing, whether you're happy or not.
Yeah, they don't really care about you.
You learn a lot from them.
But I mean, is there a possibility that if we take this to its logical conclusion, that ultimately, animals will, through other humans, be able to sue their owners for making them depressed. Because this could happen. It's not inconceivable. Weirder stuff has already happened in the world. I think it's a possibility. You've got to watch that space. Here's an interesting story, too. Apparently, P. Diddy is now facing another. I mean, this guy, he's a dangerous human being, this.
It's a Bill Cosby of rap.
Right. He clearly is. So apparently he's facing another sexual assault case after a woman came forward with fresh accusations against him. The complaint filed in New York by former porn star. Okay, well, that kind of hits her credibility right between
the
eyes.
Don't do that. Don't do that,
but she's a former porn star. And frankly,
exotic movie star.
So there are two things I want to know here. What a mattress actress.
Mattress actress.
That's what they call them. So the complaint was filed in New York by former porn star Adria English, the latest of several lawsuits against the star. He is one of rap's most successful moguls, consistently denied all allegations. So apparently she says he forced and coerced her to engage in sex work for him at parties. It also alleges the rapper threatened to ruin her career if she did not comply. Okay. It gives an account of events between 2004 and 2009. Guys, she's obviously run out of the porn star money. Let's be fair here. I mean, I don't think P. Diddy's a nice guy. We've discussed this. He's the Bill Cosby of rap, okay? Bad guy. But this is someone who's after some money. Anyone can see it. She's a porn star. And this is in the 2000s. She's no longer looking like that.
Mm.
It's 20 years later.
Or did she not get paid what she was meant to get paid?
I'm pretty sure she would have got paid. Because P. Diddy was flush with cash, and she knew why she was there. And he said, this is what I need you to do. And she said, oh, no problem. So he paid her. And if he didn't, then obviously they have a contractual disagreement. But why would she bring it up 20 years later?
Because he's getting sued, and all his business is getting aired out, like what he did to Cassie.
She sees the floodgates open, and she goes, I want my turn. I want my money.
I don't know about that. I mean, if it was just another girl, like on the streets, we would have also been taking what she's saying a bit more seriously when it comes to P. Diddy. The fact that she's a porn star, I don't think we should overlook that and be like,
It's a 114-page filing.
Come on now.
Total of 33 allegations are made against him.
All I'm just saying is that P. Diddy has shown us that he is a monster. We're just tracking how far back it started. That's it.
I'm just trying to work out these parties, right? Because we obviously went through the whole Epstein Island thing. Mm. And we got an understanding of what happens there. He basically has an island. He gets young girls there. And then you arrive there like Bill Clinton. And you know you basically be swinging dick in all kinds of places for like 10 days. Okay? That's the... I don't know if that's the invite. I don't know if that's what you get in the email.
Hi.
I don't know if that's your itinerary.
Maybe you got a voice note.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Bill. I'd love to come.
You know, it's like when you go to Club Med, it's like, I'm going there because they got windsurfing and snorkeling. And it's like, okay, 15-year-olds. Now, I'm getting the impression, I haven't really gone too deep in the story, so correct me if I'm wrong, but Diddy basically did it on like a mansion level.
Yeah.
So you can get there and you can interfere with Justin Bieber, or you can have general sex workers. Is that what...
I don't think it's fair to... say you could interfere with Justin Bieber.
Well, I don't think Bieber went there to learn about modern art.
There are stories that kid is not okay. Like, there's a lot that has happened under the watch of P. Diddy, which is absolutely sickening.
It's the absolute power trip, yeah.
Yes, it's absolutely sickening. And people have shared some stories, and they've come forth. Like, there's another girl who was like, I was a waitress, and I met, I think... P. Diddy and somebody else, if I'm not mistaken. And then she was like, I have music. They were like, you can come through to the studio. And then when she got there, they were like, oh, just like get naked and strip and twerk for us. So it's like one of those things where... and then she did it.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, and then she...
I mean, she could. There's always... Okay, there isn't always. But in most of these situations, there's an opportunity for you to say no. And if there isn't, then obviously you are a criminal. The person who's trying to force you to do stuff. Okay, but if she was there and she said, cool, I know what this party's all about, interfering.
Yeah.
So let's do this. And she took some money from him. End of story.
Well, then it's a transaction. And then professionally, they're good.
No, let's not read into it more than that. Now, she says...
Maybe
she says there's more.
Money.
Let's see. Let's see how the... Imagine being the judge who has to pour over this stuff from like... 20 years ago, and now you have to read these accounts. First of all, how do you prove anything? It's like it's going to be a her word versus everyone else's word. I mean, it's just this is really difficult to judge.
I've got a broader question here. Okay, so some people, you say that, like, you know, the stuff comes out, you start seeing his business, and people feel more comfortable to come forward.
Yes,
is it like an American version of Michael DeBroglio, just for like like celebrity pedophilia and sex cases?
It must be like,
imagine like an American guy going, "Ha, have you been to a mansion recently and you had to have sex for your career?" I reckon it's a market, because why do they keep coming out of the woodwork, these people? Gareth, you just said 117-page docket. Someone's pre-prepared. Like, okay, look, guys, this is the stuff, right? There's going to be accidents out there or sex cases. I'm going to really do it, and I'm just going to find people to put names onto it.
Well, Tabo agrees with me. Of course she wants money. Why do you guys think the phrase "kick a dog when it's down" comes from? Diddy's a pig, but people are just trying to make a quick buck, I'm sure. Signet says these machoshas are just chasing the money. Hello, folks, says Helen, completely oblivious to all the things we're talking about.
Helen.
Helen's like in the comments going, "Hi, everybody.
I'm here for a happy, healthy, fun
start to my day. And you guys talking about machoshas and P. Diddy. And, yeah. You know?
That man's not innocent. That's all I'm saying.
No,
no, of course not.
And the more stories that come out, the more we're
listen,
like,
I still think, listen, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt until we all saw that video of him, like, with that girl in the passage, like, pulling her by the hair. And,
that was Cassie.
Yeah,
and then he came out to the video, like,
horrific.
You know, that was just, like, one of the lowest times in my life. And,
yeah, yeah, half-assed apology.
Shut up. You did all those things.
You did.
You need to go to jail.
But also, he kept changing his name. You can't trust someone who doesn't understand his name. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, you can't. If someone changes their name the whole time, I think that's
what
dodgy.
Yeah. You're up to skullduggery. There's no good there.
Right.
So
I think that's a good point.
Imagine next week I just come in and say, "Hi, my name is Denver Long." It's like, Ben, what the hell happened to you? What did you do? Who are you running from?
What did you do?
All right. This is interesting. The Olympics are starting soon.
Yes.
We haven't spoken about the Olympics at all. And maybe it's because, I don't know, we haven't got anybody that we...
Your sports guy is just not into it yet. Yeah,
no,
look,
but I mean, do Paris. We have anyone going to Paris who
sure.
we should be watching?
Of course.
Okay, oh, well... Yeah.
We've got sprinters, like we've got other runners, we've got people who are... Yeah, sure, there's always people. Because, I mean, ultimately, we always have good enough people to qualify. We have golfers.
Okay.
If you want, I mean, next week we'll give a, yeah, I'll give you a full
it.
Squad rundown.
Yes, let's
I'll come
do
in
it.
Here as Minister
stuff.
Of Sports.
I just think it's that I saw the flame arriving in Paris, apparently on a boat or something, and I thought, well, we should be more excited than we are about this.
We are. It's just that I don't try to shoot the bolt too soon on things in the show here. You know, I'll tell you about the Olympics when we're good and proper ready.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's like, yay, I'm going to wait 3 weeks.
I don't think people really care about the triple jump, though. Let's be fair. It's a...
Don't speak on behalf of us, Gareth.
Are you into the triple jump?
I'm into everything. I'll watch all the
really?
Games when I can. Yes, I mean, girls are the best
it's just
of the
best. I'm so looking
athletes.
Forward to watching the Olympics.
It's so cool. Like, I love watching the Olympics. I love it. It's
okay.
So fun.
Look at this. We've
every 4 years.
Just scratched at
I know,
a wound.
Right?
Look at this.
And you just, like, you see the sprinters, you see the gymnastics, because I don't follow any of that. Don't follow it, but I'll watch it.
It's funny
that's
how we've gone from one story of exploitation to another, because all those bakoshas at P. Diddy's house are being exploited. These athletes, too, they don't get paid anything.
No.
So they have a lot of sex.
That's the thing.
So that's where the similarity with P. Diddy's
that's where, that's
comes.
Where I was going with this. No. The incentive to be an Olympian is pumping, basically, because
basically.
You give up all this time and then you don't make money. A medal,
but
great. It'll be worth 3,000 rand of cash converters in 10 years.
Cash converters? apparently, though, they've put anti-sex beds in the
yes.
athletes' rooms.
Yeah, they're made out of cardboard or some crap.
What is an anti-sex bed?
I don't know how much sex
so
you guys have had, but you don't always need a bed.
Your head, your neck, and your legs, and it's supposed to stop the athletes, because every Olympic event, they have issues with the athletes having too much sex and the condoms blocking the toilets. And so this is a way of...
Wow.
I'm like, the athletes not getting together. And I'm just like, hey man, if you're with the best of the best, I see you. Like, I see you, you see me. I'm fit.
Exactly.
I'm fine. I'm healthy. The hormones are saying yes. When there's a will, there's a way.
But you know, obviously those beds were pitched as being good for the environment because it was like a global warming crap. So it's like, these beds are made from recycled cardboard from like Himalayan village or whatever.
They all going to have neck problems and back problems.
But it's just
problems.
Like the bed is fine to sleep on, but if you start vigorously thrusting with two people, the integrity of the structure might come a bit loose.
All I'm saying is that you have world gymnastics. You know, like they can move around, they can twist themselves.
They don't even need a bed.
Thank you.
And for a lot of the time, those gymnasts, they're just happy to have consensual sex because they're old, horrible coaches.
Yeah, exactly. They're P. Diddy-ing them. And we're back to P. Diddy.
We're back to P. Diddy. So all for it. Like, fall in love, even if it's for 3 minutes.
Let those people have their fun.
And you see them in like 4 years again.
Like, honestly, if you get to the Olympics, we should just allow you to just those weeks, do whatever you need to do to just perform, right?
That's what they're there for. It's human excellence.
We're going to watch you win at amazing things. And I didn't know Simpiwe was such a fan, but look at what it does. People love seeing the best.
Yes.
What they do in their spare time is none of our business. So
yes, the Olympics is wonderful. And
give them these shitty beds. I mean, who wants one of these? If they were so great, we'd be buying them in shops. No one's buying these outside of the Olympics.
So another thing
village.
About the Olympics is that they try to have this whole thing about lessening the carbon footprint because to make the Olympics happen, you need to build so many different things. So what people try to do to sound very virtuous is like, well, you know, it'll have a purpose for this, but after the games, then we'll ship it to Somalia or we'll give it to rabbits to eat or... Like, they're always trying to find that extra sort of thing. And it's the same with the beds.
Even people in Somalia don't want those beds. Hey, they want to sleep comfy.
I agree. So the whole thing is, it's like, how do we create things without creating too much or too much excess and wasting?
You know, if you want to lower your carbon footprint, the first thing you should do is not make people breathe faster, up their respiration, which is kind of what the Olympics is bound to do to all those athletes. So I just see a lot of hypocrisy here.
Well, of course, we know this is all bollocks.
Suddenly we're back to the vegan woman with her dog.
Exactly.
Stop forcing your stuff on everyone else. You do you.
I just think the most interesting thing to look out for is always around the city. So like when it was in Rio, and you know the sewage problem there is horrific.
So people are having pooing problems now.
So it's for me, whenever I look at the Olympics, it's always like, I can't wait to watch this, this, and this. And I can't wait to see what they do with public waterways because they're all toilets. Like the saying, you think first class city, there's so much shit in that river. So now they want to do really cool things because an artist's impression of them doing like the canoeing and the rowing, beautiful. Champs-Élysées, there's like the Eiffel Tower. Right. Poo in the river. So they've all had these plans of how are they going to do it. So they've dammed up stormwater drains. They've obviously shifted things to go to poor areas where no one's going to see.
Yeah, they're always the poor. I mean, when the Olympics comes, the poor are like, haven't we suffered enough?
So it'll not go into the Seine. It'll kind of like drip into the low cost. This is how cities work. You know?
Of course.
And I always find that interesting because somehow, yes. Like in Rio, those dams, like they were so radioactive. Like, there was so much. It was worse than Hearties, are like the worst. But yet they went and had like open water swimming. So you're swimming, but you're also vomiting. And that's when you truly deserve the gold medal.
Yeah.
This person just got bilharzia. Like you can see it dripping out of their orifices right now. the Olympics is so much to look into.
Oh, I'd forgotten how much fun the Olympics were. Thanks, Ben. You just made it so much more appetizing.
And then the marathon, they run you through places where you will get stabbed, but on that day.
Especially in Rio.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Jeez. Yeah, I wonder, like, do you think that's how we'd fix Joburg?
Yeah.
Joburg would be a great Olympic
city. Offer to do
Olympic
the Olympics
city.
For free if it will just mean that the Olympic committee come in and clean things up.
Where would they swim? In Marincha?
Whoa. Oh,
decent.
Marincha, can you imagine all the bodies at the bottom of that?
But like this, the Olympics always used to be a celebration of a city as well. You know, it'd be like your way of showcasing to the world, look at us, we're so great.
Yeah.
Now it's like, look at us, we're in huge amounts of debt and people don't actually want to see this. But Paris could be better. London was profitable. The rest have been absolutely financial disasters for the hosts.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And they also build things, don't they? They build like new tracks and...
Sure.
Put up a whole stadium where there wasn't
aquatic
one before.
Aquatic centers.
Yeah, aquatic centers. Yeah, because they have the swimmers.
Look, it's one. I mean, look what 2010 did for this country here. It gave us infrastructure, which made us a lot prettier than what we were deserving.
Of course.
And it's still there. Those airports are still good. you know, browning around the edges a bit. But
browning around the
2010
edges.
Did wonderful things for us.
Philip was here.
That's right. And we were run basically by Sepp Blatter.
Best president we've had in the new era of South Africa.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Corrupt as well, but got things done.
They all are. All that money's going offshore anyway.
All right, very good. So then Joburg would be the perfect city for the Olympics, says Azalea. Yes, correct. And we were hard on Joburg on Wednesday. I had someone in who's written a book about Joburg, and we talked a little bit about the city. It's like none of us had anything nice to say. We live here. You know? Tough place.
It's a great place to make better.
Percy says, Ben is pretty funny for a disabled guy. I think he's referring to your back problem.
Yeah, but Percy, that was last week. I mean, can you not keep up? This is a very fast-moving show here.
I'm fascinated by the Olympic opening ceremonies, says Slippery Pickle, but I always watch esoteric stuff. I'm not sure. I haven't watched an opening ceremony that was esoteric. Have you? What's he talking about?
Okay, so obviously it's in Paris, right? So they're gonna have all kinds of strange dances. They're gonna try.
Oh God! Yeah,
they're gonna try replicate every single possible gender you could think of.
Yeah,
they'll have like paint on their faces.
Yeah,
they'll be like dancing aubergines. It's gonna be a hoot.
All right, Ben. Well, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Yeah.
Very good, and I'm glad you can walk again.
Yeah,
enjoy your weekend.
Watch.
You can stand up.
No sounds. No sounds at all.
He can walk.
He can even dance.
Well, let's not push it. All right, Ben. Thanks very much. So Simpiwe tells me that Greece is initiating a 6-day work week.
Yes.
That sounds horrific. They were on 5 days, now they're going to 6.
Yes. So you know how the world is trying to get... Well, not the world, but most people want to actually go to a 4-day work week.
Yeah, yeah. The places the Gambia have tried that.
And they're like, yeah, this works. This is great. This is amazing. But Greece, on the other hand, starting next week, Monday, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to go to a 6-day work week because they're saying that they don't have young people to like work in the economy. The economy is shrinking. And so to...
But no one works in Greece.
So like in order to keep up, you know, and expand the economic growth, they need a 6-day work week. And here's something that I think a lot of people might like. They'll get a 40% increase.
For working that extra day?
Yes. So what they can do is take the extra day on the Saturday, I guess, or work 2 extra hours every day, which will make up the 8 hours that they would have done.
Okay. Well, it's basically, I mean, listen, most of Europe, they don't work very hard at all. I mean, the French, Ben was just talking about the Olympics. To get the French to actually work for these Olympics, I guarantee you there'll be a strike like the day before. They don't work.
Yes.
And famously, you know, the Greeks don't pay tax and they don't work.
Yes.
So to get them to do like 6 days a week, good luck to you guys. I hope it goes well. I don't know whether this is going to work out or not.
I hope it works out, I guess. But I'm also like, I hope it doesn't, because I know how we like taking ideas, you know, and like, this worked. So like now we must implement it here. And I don't want that for Sata.
Well, okay. let's not give our politicians any
ideas. Right?
They'll screw it up. They'll make us work more for less. You see, at least in Greece, they'll make them work more for more.
Yes.
Our politicians will say, sorry, guys. It's like that extra 200 rand you're paying for electricity now.
Oh, wow. I'm so mad at that thing.
Such nonsense.
I'm mad. I'm so mad because it's just like,
what a
really?
Waste. But for everybody who's, this is the first time the government's fleeced you, now you can have some respect and love for the rest of us in taxpayer heaven. I mean, this is what they've done for all of my life. This is all what you're paying for stuff, but you're getting nothing in return. Yeah, that's what tax is. So let me welcome to the studio someone I haven't seen for a long time, but she looks exactly the same. Kula was with me on 5FM a couple of years ago. It's a while ago now.
Yeah, a long
but
time ago.
Kula started off in campus radio. She went to 5FM for almost a decade, then moved to 94.7. And she's been in the U.S. You live in Texas now, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And you got a new surname to go with it.
Yes.
Kula Budler.
Budler. Thank you for saying it correctly, because a lot of Texans say Budler, and then Boodler. I end up with like Kula Budler. I'm like, no, that's, that's
no,
just
I
not a good sound
Andrew
at all.
Liakos, but
thank
that's
you.
Just me.
Well done.
Yeah. Were you in Greece going for a 6-day work week while we were talking about your surname?
I visited Greece. I mean, they were very relaxed all the time. I can't see the 6-day work week actually working out.
Listen, you are a phenomenon. You've had 2 sets of twins.
Yes.
In 22 months.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah. We had four kids under two just as COVID lockdown started, which was...
You deserve a medal this big. I mean, I am just blown away. That is a tough task for anyone to deal with. Did you suddenly... after you had the first twins, you must have thought, well, maybe I can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. You know, raise them together and then... Yeah, it might be like you've put the effort in. And then the second set of twins, did you go, whew. I mean, twins, it's a hereditary thing.
It's hard work.
In the family, right?
Well, so. we did in vitro. So we knew that there was a chance.
There was a possibility.
They'd given us a very, very small chance of having one baby the first time around. And we'd made a commitment to use all these embryos. We only had a small amount of embryos made because we didn't want to end up with a massive family. And I said to my doctor when the twins were a year old, I'm like, I'm not getting any younger. What are the chances of having twins again? I know it's kind of a roll of the dice. You can't really tell me, but just reassure me we're not going to have twins. And he was like, we used the best quality embryos the first time round. Like, these are not such good quality. Maybe one, maybe not, none. And I was like, okay, I'll have closure that we did the right thing. We just honored our commitment to give these embryos a chance. Did the blood test a week later and the beta numbers were in the thousands. And I was like, oh, I don't even need an ultrasound. I know.
You just knew.
I know these are twins again.
Wow.
I think I cried for
First of all, 9 months. You are like a 2-for-1 in the fertility stakes there. That's fantastic.
South African clinic, actually. So good for South African doctors. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And second of all, the fact that, I always think it's amazing when cool people have kids. And I love hearing stories about people who I really like having children because I think, okay, good. The next generation will have some nice people too.
You know, that's a good thing.
You're doing your bit to kind of restock the nice people quotient in society, which is lovely. But you haven't changed at all.
Oh, you're very kind. Oh, I don't have pink hair these days, so there's that.
You went through a bit of a punky sort of stage, but like you look exactly the same. Nothing's changed.
You're very kind, Gareth. You too, actually. So well done.
Yeah. I don't know. St. Pius says, what? But that's a hell of a thing. Are they boys and girls or girls and
One boy in the older sets, a boy girl, and then the younger two are girl girl, and they're obviously all fraternal, so not identical. They don't look alike at all. From each set, we had a blonde and a brunette. There's one that favors my husband that's got this olive complexion and dark hair and dark eyes, and the other one's blonde hair, blue eyes, or blonde hair, green eyes. So most times I just get asked if I'm looking after other people's kids because they don't look related, and I go out and we've got like 2 4-year-olds and 2 6-year-olds. There's just a lot of activity and a lot of madness. And they're like, are you babysitting other people's kids? I'm like, no, these are all mine.
Wow.
all mine. So.
Okay, but now, 4 and 6 at this stage.
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
So it's got easier.
It supposedly gets easier after like 3, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's, you've got 4 of them between those ages and not going to be easy. You have all of them asking for different things at different times. They're not identical twins either, so you have to also remember the 4 names.
They don't all want to eat the same things. That's my biggest thing. It's like, can I make one meal for everyone that I know you're all going to eat? This one doesn't want to know about the meatballs. This one doesn't want to know about the spaghetti. And you're like, just please, make it easy.
But apparently, because I've got other friends in Dallas, and they say it's an amazing place to be.
Dallas is a really fun city. So you get the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and you get Dallas and Fort Worth, which are like Joburg and Pretoria. People don't want to get them confused.
Right.
Dallas is the big city, so it's a lot like Joburg.
Right.
We were in Fort Worth because that was as big a city as my husband could handle, but that's definitely got more of the cowboy feel. So Dallas feels normal to me and Fort Worth feels normal for my husband. And then we're on the outskirts of Fort Worth, so we're kind of in the sticks at the moment. But yes, it's about an hour's drive to get to Dallas and get my normal real life fix.
I've heard very good things about Dallas. The same friend and his wife, they've also got 2 kids and they started off in Houston. And he said, no, this is not good. Dallas, they're as happy as can be.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he said, especially if you have kids, it's one of the best places in the world to raise them. The schools are amazing. The things that you can do, weekends, weekdays, there's always stuff happening. There's no shortage of like really cool things that are going on. Whatever trade you ply, and this is something I want to talk to you about too, because now you've gone from like doing radio and podcasts and all of that stuff to cakes.
Yes.
Home bakery.
Yes, wedding cakes, birthday cakes, just cakes.
Oh,
yeah. So, well, the work-life balance in the States isn't quite like South Africa. You get very little leave. And with having four kids so young, at this stage, I was working for a marketing agency, but you get 10 days leave a year. And when you're getting kids that are getting sick, I was just taking more unpaid leave than it wasn't making sense. I was losing money going
to
work.
South Africans complain about how tough our labor laws
are. No, this was nuts. I had 2 weeks paid maternity leave. And after having twins,
2 weeks only.
2 weeks, and then you take your annual leave after that. So I took my 10 days and then I took my 5 days sick leave I was allowed. But by the end of 8 weeks, so there was a big chunk that was unpaid. By 8 weeks, you have to be back at work or you don't have a job.
Oh my God.
Which was, I hadn't slept in 8 weeks. I was not fit to be working or like going into client meetings or anything. It's just not.
So you just decided not anymore.
No, I can't do it. And my husband travels a lot. So it's mostly me and the kids. And I was like, I cannot handle a full-time corporate job. On top of trying to figure out kids, and then one gets sick, and the others get sick, and so I was like, I'm just going to start my own business. Feel like I'm still doing something for my own sanity and for a nice creative outlet. But it's been an interesting. This bakery took off without me even trying. I made some cupcakes for a friend who needed some for a birthday party for her kid, and just people in our area don't bake. No one owns a kitchen scale, and cupcakes are really easy to make.
People don't bake.
They don't bake. Everything is geared around convenience there. I found the difference between South Africa and the States is we innovate here. You know, you come up with these products that are needed for whatever's going on in the country, whereas everyone just wants to be comfortable. They want things done in the States. They don't want to have to hassle about things, and everyone wants a cake person. So I've become the cake lady, which is a very strange thing.
Amazing.
Like growing up, my mom would always make our birthday cakes.
So but yeah, how involved? Because I haven't watched these shows, but I've heard about the cake boss and stuff. These people do these incredible.
Can you make those kind of cakes?
Well, I don't like working with fondant. So any of those caricature, like those sculpting, modeling kind of cakes, I don't do. I do the very buttercream cakes, but where you paint on them and you do very detailed things.
That sounds beautiful.
It is. It's really fun. I've got to a point where I'm booked up 2 or 3 months in advance. I can turn down the orders that I don't want. Any fondant cakes and things like that, I just don't touch. I do what I feel comfortable with. And I can focus on weddings and focus on very beautiful cakes. I don't do the gimmicky cakes, really. It's just I'm useless with painting or drawing on paper, but I can do that on cake, which is just
phenomenal.
Yeah. So it's turned into a really fun project.
But you haven't completely left like microphones and headphones behind, right?
No, I got a WhatsApp from Karen, who we used to work with at 5FM years ago, who's now heading up a station in Joburg, who just said, would you like to come back on air for a little while? So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do that if I can manage it between the kids' schedules. So it's a 1 to 3 p.m. show in Joburg on 91.9 called The Stateside Connection.
So what is the time for you there?
6 to 8 a.m. currently. When we go into daylight savings, it's going to be 5 to 7. And I don't know if I really want to do that every Saturday morning. But
okay, so you wake up early. Before the kids even, or are they
up? Just once a week. So it's before the kids. I normally get a babysitter in because my husband travels. So I've got a babysitter who arrives there at about 5:30 in the morning. Because the kids, I finish at 8 and then the kids start their sport at 8:30. So the babysitter gets them fed, gets them ready for basketball. And as soon as I'm done, we're out into basketball practice.
But that's pretty cool. Wow. So you wake up, you have a little room there that you go into and you've got your whole studio set up.
Yes.
And
actually my walk-in cupboard, which is about the size of the studio. It's a decent size.
Amazing.
Cupboard, but it's kind of soundproof because it's carpeted and it's a room that the kids can't get into. So I just lock myself in there do the radio show, and then we do sports. And it's a fun Saturday.
So you keep doing some of the things that you really love doing, as well as going into new areas and venturing into like cakes and stuff. I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah. So that's the Stateside Connection.
Correct. Right? And we share a lot of stories about South Africans who are living abroad but still have a strong tie to South Africa.
Huge community.
Yes. And so it's been fascinating hearing people tell their stories and share their stories. I interviewed a man a few weeks ago who's now retired in Canada, but he built spy planes in the 1980s and kind of went undercover. His family all lived in Pretoria, his parents, and they didn't know that he was in Russia and all over the place. They had a landline that they could call if there was an emergency and they needed to get hold of him and just leave a message for him on this landline. And as far as they were aware, he was just sweeping the floors. They didn't know that he was actually building and designing all these airplanes. And so come across these really fascinating people. So it's been fun to share those stories.
And you're here for a little while visiting, but you also say it's to escape some of that heat in Texas, yes. which is insane. And you missed the 4th of July this week.
Well, that's... So
you're a bad American this year.
I know, seeing as I'm a citizen there these days. but yeah, the kids are off school. The six-year-olds are in elementary school, so like primary school. They're off right. school for 3 months. The preschoolers, the four-year-olds, are off school for 4 months. All the schools just shut down for summertime. Sure. I know.
Oh,
it's
wow.
every year, sure. and it's like the hottest time of year. So you can get them to parks until 9 or 10 in the morning, and then you're sweating. You hit 40 degrees, and you've got to be inside or in the swimming pool. Like, our goal was just to get a house with a pool for sanity's sake.
Yeah.
But if we can, we've been here for 6 weeks now, just escape the heat for a little while. Get the kids in touch with their African roots and
good.
Just comfortable with normal life. You know, they're American kids. They're used to central heating, so they cry every time I take them out of the bath now because they're not used to being cold. I'm like, these are good life
toughen
lessons
them up.
For you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, I'm really happy you're here because you've managed to squeeze in a visit with us. How long have you still got?
We leave on Monday, so I've been here the 6
brilliant.
Weeks already.
Okay, so we caught you right at the end of it.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the people that we used to know at 5FM?
Janine, who is one of the producers, who is now part of
She works for us here.
Yes, oh. yes. So I've caught up with her a fair amount. Karen, who is now my boss at the news station.
Right.
That's been about it. I'm in touch with Sureshni a lot because she lives in Arizona now. So
yeah, she's also an American.
Yes, yes.
She's
so
cool.
We've just had a lot of phone calls and I was just making sure that she was settling in okay. You know, the States it's an English speaking country, but you may as well be living in, I don't know, China or somewhere else. The cultures are still so very different.
What is the hardest thing about Americans and getting used to their way of doing things as opposed to being here in South Africa? Because this
Please tell me you own a kettle.
Mm. Yes, I do. And people are amazed when they come to our kitchen because they look at the kettle and they go, what is that? An electric kettle. And they don't know what to do with that.
Some people have brought this up to me once. They don't have a kettle for boiling water.
Well, they'll use one that's on the stove top, but then they use that for hot tea, really. Everyone has those drip coffee machines. So it's not even like your nice cappuccino makers. It's this awful drip coffee. So they don't need a kettle for that. And then they're like, what do you do with it? And like, I'm all about convenience. I'm fine with my instant coffee and I need quick coffee in the morning. So I'm like, I make coffee. Like if you want to do pasta, it boils the water really fast. Like you can do all these things with it. And they're like, and so I have a friend a South African friend who lives in Dallas.
Surprise.
Well, okay, wait for this. So I have a South African friend whose friends in Dallas were equally amused by this kettle. And the one friend decided to go and buy one and they call them a hot tea kettle. And she invited my friend over for tea and she put the tea bags in the kettle.
Oh,
and she was
no.
boiling the water with the tea bags in the kettle and very proud of herself that she was having my friend over for tea. But
God
sends a picture of this kettle.
I mean, listen, that's a big culture shock, but that can't be the worst thing. I mean, also Americans do have a different way. I love Americans. I've always been a big fan. I'm happy 4th of July to everybody who celebrated yesterday. But there are things that they do that are just very weird. And their politics is weird. The things that they do for fun are different to the things we do for fun. They have a completely other way of looking at the world.
Well, it's like they took everything that was British and decided to not do that. The one thing that really surprised me is a lot of people don't use knives and they struggle to just use a fork to cut like a chicken breast or salmon. And you'll see them struggling and they're kind of like really trying to get the fork to scrape the side
so
of this piece of meat.
They eat with just the fork?
Just the fork, yes. Like they don't know what to do with a knife. Unless if you go to a steak restaurant, you'll see people trying. But even then, the knife is held at a really awkward angle because they're just not used to using a knife. And the first few times we went to people's houses for dinner and I was just given a fork, I was like, I don't, like with the salad, I don't know what to do with a fork. And they just don't use a knife generally, which was a very surprising thing. Same as butter. Like they don't put butter on bread, on sandwiches or anything, which I'm like, butter's the best part. Like butter is what you want on your sandwich. But,
yeah, that's weird too. And really big portions of everything.
Yes, right? It's extreme.
Massive, massive portions of everything. I remember that from my first trip. I was like, what the hell? Is this for two people?
Yeah.
Hugh says, American coffee's terrible. It's tepid and weak.
Mm-hmm.
Nico says, weird people are everywhere. They probably think the same about us. They probably do. What are they surprised by with you?
Just that South Africa is as... they really think we're living out in the bush with the wild animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that stereotypical comment. Like people are do you have shopping malls? Do you have the internet? Yes.
And you're even not wearing a loincloth.
Yes.
That's very impressive.
So we get that a lot. And that you speak English or, you know. So,
in other words... they'll be really impressed. Their expectations are very low.
Yes.
So if you're a South African and you go there, they're like, wow, you can walk upright. I'm really impressed with you. You know, that kind of thing. They microwave their water, says that Don Kede.
Yes, that is correct. And then it's never like it's never really a hot cup of tea or coffee, but that's how you'll get served it, with the teaspoon in the cup still, because that and the tea bag. It's just a different way. I've had to keep on reframing and going, okay, it's not wrong. Mm. It's just different.
Oh, no, you can't say it's wrong. Please educate them, school them, and be like, this is the right way to do things.
Yeah. It's been interesting with the kids too, because they were born there and because that's their culture. I want them to feel like
that. Do they sound American?
They do. They sounded South African until they started going to school regularly. And so my 6-year-olds are definitely like full on Texan, but they've realized
they
can
like
change.
They got like a Texas sound to them?
Yes.
Oh, and that's amazing.
But then they change that when they come home. So you can hear them say, they'll say can't, and then they'll change it and go can't. You can see that like the cogs are turning there, and they can change pronunciation at home. But just the words that I use, I've kind of let them run with using the American words, because otherwise they're not understood by their peers.
Their friends won't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So have you done any traveling in the US?
We have. I think I traveled more before we had kids. We did road trips all the way from like Chicago up to North Dakota and then down through to Colorado. Yeah, we've traveled a fair amount. So, sure. And then from Texas, we drove through to Florida once as well, just to knock out a few of the states along the way. With the kids now, it's easier just to go to Oklahoma. That's the closest one where you can get into the mountains, see a bit of nature, because Texas is pretty flat.
Yeah.
So to, we can get to Colorado.
But you got a similar sort of climate to here. It's a lot warmer, obviously, in the summer.
I thought so. No, it's actually very extreme. I thought it was going to be similar. And
did you get snow in winter?
There. You get snow. Sometimes it gets down to minus 10 or minus 15. We get a lot of ice, which is a problem. So you'll get one of those polar vortex storms moving through, and you get iced in for a few days. The ice is thick. They'll put salt on the highways so that cars can move on the highways, but nothing gets done to the residential roads, and your cars will just slip and slide. So we have a really close community and good neighbors, and someone will venture out to the shops and the trucks wouldn't have been able to deliver groceries for a few days. So it's kind of feels like the end of the world. You just grab whatever you can. It's like one loaf of bread.
Stuff.
It is. And then like everyone sends a list of their wish list, and this person will try grab what they can. And then they'll come back and go, this is what I've got. And you pool and share and trade. But it's because you just have to wait for the ice to melt.
All right. Now, one thing I know about Texans is they are Texans first, then they're Americans.
Oh, yes.
So like if you're in Texas, do you have a truck?
PJ did when we first moved, and now he's got a work truck, but he got a big Ford F-250 or something when we first moved there. Yes, they have trucks, and then they have gun racks in the back of their trucks.
Yeah.
I'm not a big gun person, but it's just for if they go hunting.
Not
they have
like
this
your
big
cousin.
Safe.
No, okay.
We love Basil.
Yeah, I'm friends with Kula's cousin, just so we have some context here.
Yes, but yeah, they love their trucks. A lot of the houses have the big Texan flags hanging outside.
Have
them.
You got a flag?
We did in our old house, just because the previous owners already had a flagpole outside, and so we kept that and kept the flag.
Oh no, my other mate who's there, he has a flag. He puts it up every day and takes it down in the evening.
Oh, that's commitment. We just left ours because you're not supposed to let it get weather beaten.
No.
It's kind of frowned
Old
upon.
Glory.
Yeah, you've got to respect the flag. There's a special ceremony even for when the flag is retired that you're supposed to do. I had to learn all that protocol.
This is good old patriotism.
Yeah.
But Texas is definitely a very cool place. You've been to Austin, though. That's
yes,
weird.
I love
Austin's
Austin.
Weird.
Yes, it is. And you've got to keep Austin weird. That's what they want.
That's their motto.
Yeah.
So I went to Austin for the first time probably about 6 years ago, and it's like nowhere else in Texas. It's like the weirdest part of America in the most non-weird part of America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this little place that is Democrat and left-wing and liberal and strange, and there's music and there's craziness and there's like lots of money there too, but it doesn't fit in Texas somehow.
No, not at all. And I think that's why people love it though. You know, and you've got students, and students are always, they add an eccentric twist to things and bring their own vibe as well. But it's part of hill country. It's the part where it does get a little bit more scenic in Texas, which
lovely.
Helps too. And yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And because you're in Dallas and because you're in Texas, do you have a cowboy hat and boots?
I don't have the hat. PJ has many because he judges cattle shows, which are like beauty pageants for cows.
Wow.
So he has to wear the whole getup. One of the first events that we were invited to when we arrived in Texas, everyone is big on fundraising. A lot of private individuals will have a charity that they sponsor. And so we got invited to an event where the dress code was cowboy chic. And I was like, what? What do I do with this dress code? And I called some friends that we knew there, and it was kind of an eye opener. I had to go out and buy boots. But basically, women wear these beautiful cocktail dresses, gorgeous cocktail dresses. and then boots.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I'm a stiletto. I love my stilettos. I love my shoes. And the boots with the cocktail dresses were kind of an eyesore.
Well,
it's the only time I wore the boots. I've not worn them
since
then.
I told Simpu I had to go to a party last Friday, and the theme was Country Music Awards.
Oh, my word.
So I had to get a cowboy hat, and I had to get boots. And
where
I
did you get them from?
Are they places? I go into a costume shop. You're not going to find those things for sale in South Africa that easily. But it worked out quite well, and I had the whole thing, the whole getup.
Yeah. Have you learned, I know, in South Africa, we call it a step, you know, the wedding dance that we do. Like, I know, I think it's in Texas as
Texas
well.
Texas two-step.
Have you learned that?
No, I'm not much of a dancer. And we really just don't go to those places. No. Yes.
Kula and I became DJs because we didn't want to dance.
No, not good dancers. Yeah. But we have cops. Our cops in Fort Worth, you get some of them on horseback with their cowboy hats. Even the ones driving around in their cars have their cowboy hats on. It's
how you do, Major?
And they really can't. Like, if your car breaks down, it hasn't happened to me, but friends have told me that if you're waiting for someone to come fix your tire or whatever, you can call the police. They'll come and park next to you. You can sit in the police car because they've got air conditioning, which is a big thing in summertime. You don't want to be broken down. They'll give you a bottle of water and you can sit with the policeman while you wait for someone to come fix your car.
Here in South Africa, just hoping the police won't steal your car while it's broken down. There. Ma'am, can I offer you a bottle of water? That's nice.
In fact, they'll give you a lecture. What were you doing? Where were you going?
Our friend Alex says, can Kula introduce me to one of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, please?
Oh, I'll do my best, yes.
Yeah, I think that would be a very nice thing for you to do.
Yes, okay, Alex.
Very good. Yeah. Yes, all right. Gareth, you need to show us your Woody look. Go to hell. I'm not going to show you a picture of it. I lived in Dubai for a bit, says Sanele. Even the beach water is hot. Definitely counts.
Yes. Yeah. We've got a swimming pool at the moment, and this is the first year that I've just seen on the local Facebook groups while we've been here that people are asking how to cool down their swimming pools. At the moment, I check the temperature. I've got an app that I can log into our pool. It's at about 33 or 34 degrees at the moment, which to me is nice. I don't want to cool down a pool. It kind of feels
starting
nice
to get like a bath.
Yes, but I don't
so
like
how
cold
do you
water.
Cool it down?
They were just saying that you can freeze big buckets of water and just throw those in. So ice, or we've got sprinklers on the side that I just thought was for a nice fountain look, but apparently is to cool down the pool. So it circulates cold water in the pool.
And Kula, your neighbors and the other people that you've met and that you deal with, they're the other parents at the nursery school and the elementary school. Are they nice people? They're very welcoming.
Absolutely.
Friendly. You don't feel like, ugh, I don't know if I fit in here. You know, a lot of people who move, they have that nervousness that they're not going to fit in, and then sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I know. Culturally, I still don't feel like it's my home, but that's got nothing to do with the people. Just the Texas culture is very different, and I think East or West Coast would have been better suited for me.
Really?
But at the same time, I think it's easy to disappear and not feel settled in those big cities too, because everyone's doing their own thing. No one's really taking time to get to know anyone else. They're on a mission. Whereas in Texas, everyone has been super friendly, super welcoming, but to the point where you just want to go grocery shopping and not have a 10-minute conversation with the cashier about where you're from and how long you've been in Texas. And I just want to buy my stuff and go now.
That's
thank
nice,
you.
That's kind of South African in a way. I mean, you go to South Africa, everyone is willing to have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so our neighbors are great. Everyone
looks
out
for. Have you got used to filling your own car with petrol?
Yes, I'm great at that.
Are you?
Not so much checking my tire pressure. I still leave that for my husband to do when he's around. It's just I don't know why. That just confuses me. But the petrol is fine. Yeah, so that's good. I'm trying to think about what else. Yeah, everything's kind of independent there. Even just scanning your own groceries. Most of the grocery shops, you just scan and pay and leave.
There's no cashier.
Unless you're doing a really big shop, then you go to that aisle where you've got a few trolleys. Because with our family, we need a few trolleys sometimes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm so blown away by how well you've done. And being a mom of four, two sets of twins, this woman deserves, I don't know, the order of Mapungubwe or whatever we can give her in this country. And it's nice to have you back here. And I'm glad that we can still hear you if we tune into 919.
Yeah, that's it.
Very good. Well, it's lovely to see you. Thank you, Kula.
It was nice to see you too.
And it's very cool to have you with us this Friday morning. We will see you on Wednesday with me, but Monday with Simpiwe. And otherwise, behave yourself. Have a good weekend. Keep warm. And a big thank you to Kula. Big thank you to Simpiwe. Good. Big thank you to Ben, and most especially to you. Cheers, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.